Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150-939 is the number. 939 is the station. Steve, you got to admit something.
Okay.
It does feel kind of good. Thank you. It does feel kind of good to have the pressure release and not have to address anxiety of your basketball team coming off a loss to Michigan State on their way to play North Carolina State at 2 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow. And to be completely occupied with Louisville football. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, every time I remember, we're starting our ACC schedule at North Carolina State.
Yeah, that's kind of it does get thrown under the it's gotten thrown under the bus a little bit, man, because it's just, well, for one, it's an odd time to play a conference game.
Didn't we do that last year?
ACC's been doing that.
Absolutely. Just throw one off balance and just see what.
Ours was supposed to be NC State, but we didn't play it.
Mm-hmm. And then the year before it was Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. We opened.
Oh, was that last year?
No.
It was last year.
No, it was Jordan Warren then. Because that's where we opened, was down at Miami with that team that was ranked so high. It was last year was supposed to be NC State early, and it got canceled. So it was like, oh, okay. This year, it won't. I mean, we'll play Saturday at 2 o'clock, tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and it is kind of wild to think. It's like, man, you know, you win tomorrow, you feel like, okay, I'm 6-2, 1-0 in the ACC.
Game on.
It feels good. You know, you come back to play a DePaul team who, as of now, is 6-0. I don't think it's necessarily that they've beat a bunch of great teams, but they've still won every game they've played. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and it's a good month. I was putting my calendar up at home and writing the games in, and I'm like, December, it's a good month for Louisville. They play some good teams.
And I'm extremely nervous about this game as well, right?
I would be lying if I said I'd watched a ton of NC State.
It's not about – it has absolutely nothing to do with NC State. That worries me.
Okay.
Okay, this is just going basketball. You know, if y'all want to talk a little basketball, let's sit back and talk a little basketball. What I'm worried about right now, Steve.
I've got two clips, by the way. Shout out to our boy, Jackie Boy. Uh-huh. Last night on the Field of 68 podcast with Jeff Greer, Ross McMain's joined. Mm-hmm. So got a couple clips from that. So shout out. Thanks, Jack, for cutting these.
And thanks for sending that email with the sound clips titles on it.
I literally just found out about it. Sorry. My bad.
Well, next time, wait to tell me about it. Like, it's like saying
surprise.
Yeah, it's like saying I'm going to have something for you later on.
Coach Mack talks today at 11:50, right? So we are going to have Coach Mack today.
Yeah. Okay. So
give me a nod. So yes. So and a thumbs up.
Yeah. So it should be Malik Williams at 11:50, and then after that, it's going to be Chris Mack. We'll take that live here on 93.9 The Ville and probably replay it either in its entirety or via some clips over. On Pops with Fast Break Friday. By the way, Jay Bill is 12:30.
Here's the thing. Everybody knows, like, the basketball, you know, kind of the basketball purist in me that has been trying to tell everybody, every team, especially, you know, teams with seniors and team, like Power 5, North Carolina State has a guy that won a state championship single-handedly in his college. You know, like, they all have a dude that can take over a game. You know, and especially at this level, North Carolina State, like, you have monsters all over, you know, ACC basketball. Sure. You know, so no, it's already the I don't like when people, oh, you should win, and just kind of, you know, yes, you should win, but don't be so dismissive about it. Just kind of, you know, watch your tone when you just say you should just win it, you know, because even Coach Pitino said all home games and half road games. And that's a successful season.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, just let it be known. He's saying not certain yet, half, because road games you're expected to win. Coach Pitino said 50% of your road games you should win.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hard it is to go on the road. So here's the thing.
Which in NC State, I think they've only got one loss, and it was to OK State by six.
Wasn't it Nebraska? Wait, didn't they go like?
No, they beat Nebraska.
Oh, so they ended up pulling that out?
104-100.
Yeah. That's like a four overtime game. Right?
Just overtime.
Okay, overtime. Yeah. Oh, okay, fair
close enough.
Yes, I heard it was like four times. Okay, so what I said, my concern has zero to do with North Carolina State.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're in a very sensitive time, right?
Yeah.
By talking about what happened at Michigan State. Okay? It's a big chance for emotional
NC State on the predictor, they have NC State winning 52%.
So. Okay.
Yeah. Just to kind of let people know, like it is a tough game.
What does that top text say?
Okay. Nothing.
Okay. The reason I'm worried and the reason you're at a very pivotal point is because your studs just went on national TV and shot blanks.
They did.
Your studs.
Well, who we thought was the studs.
Who they think themselves are studs.
Yeah.
Samuel Williamson shot a complete blank.
He did.
At Michigan State. He's supposed, you know, Sam Williamson is, you know, hey, this is going to be my year. I put in the work. I'm Mr. Big Jump, Mr. Leader. He did not perform well at all.
Mm-mm.
And in that game, you and I both saw it.
He had 7 minutes.
Yeah. But the world saw the reason he got 7 minutes is the way he was just trying to score. He was not committed to the other aspects of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee Sam's anxiety level is high right now. You played bad. Coach probably let you have it. Your family probably let you have it. Stop walking around here with your chest out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one guy, Steve. Who's a stud and a leader, vocal guy, and all that good
Absolutely.
Stuff. Noah Locke, you came here to show the world what you could do, to show all the extra things you can do. You did exactly the opposite of what you came here to the University of Louisville to do.
Yeah.
In your first national big chance moment to do it. And you got nobody to blame but yourself.
Right.
And you had to be the guy who calls home and mom says, oh, baby, you know, he should have had you in the game. But he comes from a family of coaches as well.
Yeah.
So on the other hand, they're like, no, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do what you had to do. That's a big pressure. That's a big chip on your shoulder. That's a monkey on your back. That's not an easy thing to shake, y'all.
No, absolutely not.
A screw up. Against Tom Izzo in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and you had the worst game. You look like you're not at this level if you're just coming off that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who else we got? Who else expected to have a good game?
I mean, you talked about
Jalen Withers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Now, I'm a little less because Jalen has threw stinkers in before. Where I will say that I am proud. I've seen Jalen recover from bad games. I've seen Louisville fan base be all over him, dunk the ball, dunk the ball, dunk the ball. And I've watched him dunk the ball, and people tweet me and say, oh, are you happy, Marcus? I've seen him recover. But still, Steve, he had a really bad game.
Yeah.
It's a bad situation. Malik, his numbers didn't pan out so bad, but I know his film graded terrible. So that's more of a in-house bad game thing. In-house leadership, what you brought to the table, you know, yeah, we like
the defense. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not like it's not a public criticism, but he's got some recovering to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Matt Cross, still just didn't look right from, you know, from kind of when he got sick. He didn't look right, but again, his aggression level, I'm okay with. He may have a breakout game. It's a perfect game for him to unload on this one. But you understand what I'm saying?
I mean, if Matt Cross hits a couple threes, I think if he hits two of those five, I think we feel a lot different.
Okay, Sidney Curry didn't play. Mm-mm. At all.
Somebody said Sidney was in street clothes. Was that true?
I didn't pay attention.
Okay, I'll have to relook.
He wouldn't be in street clothes, though. He would have been in a Louisville sweatsuit or something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes, that's what they're calling.
Okay, okay.
That's what us that didn't play call street clothes. Like he's on the bench in street clothes, which means he's got his jumpsuit on.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Now, I don't know if that. I saw that somewhere.
Okay. Sidney Curry did not play at all.
Uh huh.
Roosevelt played pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
So, what was your practice like? You know, what are the emotions in your practice going on the road? Listen, everybody knows people are jockeying for position right now. So, there's a lot of freak out after this game. You know, parents, like I said, all is JJ Traynor. Hoping to get a minute look, hoping to get a quick look. Pressure level if he jumps in. I think last time we played, but you get my point.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of anxiety that could occur coming off this game. Let me hit Lawrence real quick. Lawrence, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
What up, Marcus? What up, Steve?
What up, Lawrence?
I'm sorry, but I'm expecting a win tomorrow in 2 seconds. Because I know what this team can do, and I know what their mentality is. It's just when shots ain't going down for them, they feel like they're sulking. They don't want to play. They don't want to play ball anymore. But I know what Jalen, I know what Sam, I know what Locke, I know what these guys do. I saw them win a tournament in Bahamas. They can't bully NC State tomorrow. So I'm expecting a win tomorrow. No excuses at all. So they better go in there and rebound the ball and play defense and not get up too many three-point shots and attack the rim tomorrow. So I ain't standing for no loss tomorrow. They better win.
Lawrence, I appreciate the call, my man. You know, everybody needs a Lawrence in their family. If you have children, you pray that you have a brother like Lawrence. Because Lawrence is the perfect uncle for your sports kids.
Yeah.
Because you can tell your kids, oh, you know, man, you did a good job. You know, you had 8 points. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, I know y'all lost, but Uncle Lawrence will come in and be like, that ain't going to get it done. Hey, no excuses. Y'all play against Male High School tonight. They number one in the state. But I seen what you can do.
Speaking of which, shout out to Male High School going for a state championship against St. X, who's also in Louisville. So, two Louisville teams are going to go to Kroger Field in Lexington to play for the state championship. Doesn't that make a lot of sense?
Yeah. But Lawrence, as Uncle Lawrence, will come in there and tell your child, hey, if y'all...
Somebody said Curry was in uniform.
If y'all lose to them, don't come back down to Louisville. Don't listen. If you lose to St. X, I mean, what they got over there? No excuses. Thanks, Uncle Lawrence.
Yeah. Shout out to St. X, too. I was just like, shout out to Male and St. X for making the state championship game.
Okay. That is my basketball worry. Mm-hmm. Coming back from break, Steve is going to make you not worry about the North Carolina State game.
I am.
And I will be excusing myself. Last commercial break, middays with Marcus Maben.
Or we'll just talk probably football.
On 93 Knoxville.
Good morning. I'm Nick Valvano. The Sports Center update brought to you by Barino's Pizza. Yeah, it's that good. Number 10, U of L women scorching number 12, Michigan last night, 70-48. Emily Engsler with 18 points. Postgame, Coach Jeff Walls thinks the Cards have found a recipe for success this season.
Offensively, that's what we're going to have to continue to do. And then we push it in transition. We did a nice job of scoring. At the defensive end, we know we're going to have to guard. That's what our bread and butter is going to be. We're going to have to continue to get down, make it hard for others to score, and then we, you know, turning them over 24 times, which led to 32 points.
U of L men's coach Chris Mack, he'll meet the media around noon. We'll take that live right here on 93.9 The Ville. Jay Billis, he'll join Bobby V for Fast Break Friday at 12:30 over on ESPN 680 105.7. Volleyball number one seed U of L hosting UIC and NCAA tourney opening round action tonight, 7 p.m. at LNN Federal Credit Union Arena. And in football, male St. X face off for the 6A title tomorrow at Kroger Field, 7 p.m.
Here's what you missed on the Diener Show.
If you say to yourself, it's going to get better and you're Vince Tyra, you have to say, all right, I'm willing to sit through lower attendance games. But I think the toughest part is then how do you evaluate next year? I keep going back to this because if you keep him at 6-6, you go 7-5 next year. That's the same thing as 6-6. Swapping out Ole Miss for South Florida is putting in another win. Then does it have to be 8? I don't know.
Weekday morning, 7-10 on 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maven here on 93.9 The Ville. Marcus has obviously excused himself for the day, which is fine. We chatted a little bit about basketball. We've chatted a little bit about football. Football is obviously going to dominate the conversation. We will chat a little bit more about it, but also want to give a quick shout-out. It really shouldn't be a quick shout-out, but it should be a total shout-out to the women's basketball team because they looked absolutely phenomenal last night. They really did.
70-48.
Man.
That was the 12th ranked team in the country, by the way.
And they beat them down, they beat them down and trash talked them.
34 points, I think, Wall said off turnovers.
I know.
How you doing?
Yeah, it was wild, man. And I really enjoyed those uniforms they had. The black ones with the lettering.
Yeah, I like that.
That
yeah.
looks sharp.
Big
yeah.
fan.
Yeah, I like that. So, man, but I mean, yeah, they cannot be stated enough. I mean, you're talking a number 12 team in the country. You just ran off the floor. Again, I mean, I think Louisville shows, the women's team shows that they are in that range still where it's like they're definitely one of the 17 best teams in America. Can they make the jump from 7-2 is what we need, you know?
Yeah, I feel like they needed that emphatic win over
absolutely.
A good team.
Absolutely.
I mean, still, you know, women's basketball suffers from a lack of parity
a little bit. I agree with that.
I mean, it's gotten better, but it's still mm-hmm. – so, you know, those big wins against not, you know, name brand teams, you know, they don't – you could argue.
Yeah.
Look up the street. I mean, they don't matter. You know, it happens in the men's game. It doesn't really matter that much either. But, I mean, that was a good team that they absolutely decimated, more or less from pillar to post. I mean,
yeah.
Michigan hit some big threes early, but, I mean, right? I mean, 90% of that game
was
all
absolutely. Loose. Absolutely. Let me remind people, too. Let me remind you really quick here. We got some things going. Malik Cunningham will be at Planet Fitness on Poplar Level Road on Monday night for a free autograph session. It'll be 7-8 on Monday night at the Planet Fitness, and it's open to the public. That's Malik Cunningham. Did I say Malik Williams? Malik Cunningham this Monday from 7-8 at the Planet Fitness in Poplar Level Road. I think that's a timely announcement. I think we'll hear a little bit about might hear a little bit about Malik's future over the next few hours. So
I have to mention this, by the way. I don't know if you saw it. The backdoor text line, one VP passes this along. Our total right now for Cram the Van is now $65,000 thanks to an anonymous 5K donation.
Wow.
I mean, wow. And they are going to stretch that to, it basically breaks down to, after all the discounts and Kohl's and everything like that, shout out to them, by the way, and shout out to our friends at Focus for what they did yesterday. I think like $20,000 of that came from them. So thank you. It's basically going to be double.
Remember that when you're buying your drinks.
Exactly. So that's right now. I left my abacus at home, but that's basically going to be. Let's see here. Carry the 2, 6, 5, and win that. $130,000 worth of merchandise for kids.
That's absolutely
unreal.
Incredible. Yeah, yeah, and still going. So yeah.
So yeah, and we have the GoFundMe up. So yeah, if you missed out yesterday. We'd always appreciate your donations.
That's an awesome time.
That is very, very, very cool.
Let's go from that, from something else we love. Thanks to George and Barino's team for bringing about lunch to the ESPN Louisville studios.
Pizza Day!
That's right. Barrenos has you covered for the big games this weekend. Like I told you, man, I'm going to be kicking back. Georgia, Alabama tomorrow. I could go for a Barrenos while I'm doing that.
Ooh, yeah.
Sounds good. Your spot before all the Louisville men's and women's games and events at the KFC Yum Center. Barrenos gift cards right now you can get because a Mama Barrenos won't fit in the stockings, right? So, fair enough.
Well, not with that attitude.
Yeah, you can purchase. I can make one fit. You can purchase a $20 gift card right now through the 23rd of December and receive an extra additional $5 gift certificate. So essentially, it's you get $25 for 20. So that's a good deal.
Not bad at
all. Don't forget to take advantage of Barrenos Pizza's gift card sale now through December 23rd. One last thing, and I'm going to get back to let's talk a little bit more about this football situation. If something were to happen, over the weekend, go to your TuneIn app, go to your radio, and turn it on 93.9 The Ville or ESPN 680.
iHeart app. I mean, we'll have you covered.
We will 100% be on the air.
It's what we do, baby. It's what we do.
If something were to happen. And yes, that is... that comes from conversations that are being had in the studio from the top, that if something were to happen, we will absolutely be on the air this weekend. So remember that when you're doing it. I don't know if something's going to happen this weekend. I'm not saying that. But if it did, we will be on the air taking phone calls, chatting it up, and talking about what all is going on. So... there's that. So, anyways, we'll get back to all that.
One more shout out.
Yeah,
one more. Okay. Number one, U of L volleyball.
Yeah,
starts the NCAA tournament tonight. UIC.
Yeah,
the Flames. LNN Federal Credit Union Arena tonight, I believe, 7 p.m. So, I mean, number one overall seed, U of L volleyball.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wasn't working at the restaurant, I'd be at that game. I mean,
absolutely.
Women's volleyball is entertaining as hell to watch.
Yeah.
Especially them. They're really, really, really good. I got a saying, Steve. I don't know the first thing about volleyball. It was always the game I was worst at in gym class.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that was actually why I couldn't get dates to homecoming, because I got hit in the jewels a few times.
Yeah.
That's a true story. Hitting the jewels, snotted all over myself right in front of my high school crush thanks to gym class volleyball. All the goodwill I got from floor hockey, where I was a stud, immediately out the window.
Yeah.
That said, don't know anything about volleyball, but excellence, this is my saying, can transcend ignorance and apathy. I might have been high when I came up with that. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's very, very poignant in my opinion. And I don't know anything about volleyball, but U of L volleyball is excellent.
Yeah.
And when you watch them without even knowing about it, and even if you didn't care about volleyball, it'll transcend that and you'll buy in. It's they're a fun team to watch.
Absolutely. Great news for whoever the coach is at the University of Louisville next year. Malik Cunningham has made it official. He will be back.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah. How about that? Where's the sounder?
He will be back. So that's big news for whoever. Look, whether it's Satterfield or whether it's Brohm, that's good news for whoever it is. You know, you have at least a starting quarterback. I think if it's the latter, I think you'll have a couple behind him as well. But Malik Cunningham with the tweet says, Card Nation, don't worry, I'm staying home. So good deal. I mean, that's like I said, man. That is good news. I would really like to see Malik Cunningham in an offense where he could show his arm off, like where he could really, you know, where he could sling it, and that could be fun.
Well, I know they lost Jordan Watkins, but Tyler Harrell had moments.
Well, no,
this
here's
year.
Here's the thing though. You have to understand this. If Brohm's the coach, they didn't lose Jordan Watkins.
That's a fair point. Like, that's a fair point.
They will have. I'm telling you right now on this air, they will have Jordan Watkins back if that were to happen.
Can I float something at you?
Yeah.
If Satterfield hired an offensive coordinator, do you think that would help at all?
I mean,
the Dwayne Ledford days were, you know, the halcyon days of the Satterfield era.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's a coincidence that he goes to the NFL and suddenly U of L's offense isn't exactly what it was year one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yes, it would help.
Would that make you would that make you want to keep Satterfield at all?
No, but it would help. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I'm just looking at contingency plans.
But I mean, if he's here and that's what we have to deal with, then yeah, I would like him to hire an offensive coordinator.
I know that's not what you want, but if he were to stay, for you to even tolerate it, offensive coordinator and Brian Brown gone?
Yeah.
Is that basically?
Yeah, that, I mean, to even tolerate it, yes, that would have to be two things that just had to happen.
That's your spoonful of sugar.
Yeah. That would be two things that just had to happen. Yeah, absolutely.
Larry Poppins for you on a Friday.
Yeah, so, but I mean, hey, that's good news, though. Like I said, for whoever the coach is, man, you get a, you know, you at least got one guy who is, who probably, I mean, I think next year, Malik Cunningham will probably be in some preseason ACC, all ACC conversations. I mean, I think he'll be in preseason ACC Player of the Year conversations. So that's not a bad thing to have that back. Now, I would still like to have a little competition in there with him, a little more competition than's in there right now. But yeah, I think that will be the case. Let me see here. Let's go through, get some of these texts. Sorry. Okay. Somebody said, if or when, Steve. No, it's if. If that happens, we will be on the air. No, we cannot do that, Texter. But that is funny. Texter says, guys, he has a system that performed admirably at State. That system went to Happy Valley, went to Ann Arbor, went to Knoxville, and had success. You got to give him a chance. Oh, yeah. Listen, just a quick version. Listen, people will kill me today. Just a super quick version. I do acknowledge, thank you, Nikki. I do acknowledge that my Cowboys won last night, and I am really happy for them. But I'll be honest with you, I expected them to win that game, and I have bigger fish to fry today. So thank you, Nick. You can turn that down. Appreciate that. Let's see. Malik staying means Satterfield's not going anywhere. I totally disagree with that. Malik staying has a lot to do with NIL, not Satterfield. Let's see. Yeah, right. I know, Texter. Somebody let Malik know Brahm is coming home. I'm sure he knows that that's a possibility. Texter says, wonderful news, more quarterback runs in the red zone. There is that element of it, that things would have to change, because I would say if Satterfield's back with Malik, I go, okay, so are we just going to watch more of the same? Like, that's not exciting to me. But I don't know. All right, let's get these phone lines really quick. Terry, welcome in. You're up first. Middays with Mark Smaven. What's going on?
Good evening. First of all, no, everybody don't need a Lawrence in their family. Most family has athletes, the military. He wouldn't fit in between neither one of those. And then back to Marcus. Marcus, I got a question for you.
He's gone. He's gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can handle it.
Okay.
You're the man in charge.
Okay. What's going on?
You think that the women saw the way the guys played at Michigan State, they better buff it up? Because I checked out the stats on the men versus the women in both of their games. The women had more assists and they had more rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the scuffle at the end with the two techs, but, you know, needless to say. The boys didn't seem to put up a fight like the girls did. What do you think? And with these guys that Scott or Chris or our football coach has turned to come to Louisville, if you notice on the Facebook fan page, they put on there that they're only coming because of the coach coming to them. Do you think they will stay here with a different coach, or you think they will switch again?
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call, Terry. Anytime you switch coaches, you're going to have a little turnover. That's just going to happen. Some guys are going to leave. Some guys are going to come in. I mean, you know, that's just how it's going to be. I mean, I do think that there would be a option there for a guy like Milton Wright that I think would probably look this direction, which would be, would probably immediately come in and be your best receiver. The Bell thing. I think he would go pro. But yeah, there would be some guys. And on the flip side of that, I think there could be some guys that would have been productive for us over the last couple of years that would probably head out if there was a coaching change. So I mean that's just the give and take. Yeah, and absolutely, I do think the women probably watched a little bit of the men. It was like, hey,
ooh, we don't want to do that.
Let's not do that. Let's do something a little bit different here. All right, let's keep it going. Ian, welcome in, man. What's going on?
Hey, nice to talk to you guys.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. I imagine the conversation is football driven right now. I'm in Colorado.
Absolutely.
So I'm not able to listen to the radio, but it kind of seems like to me the situation boils down to a couple things. One is, you know, how strong are the rumors about other players leaving? You know, if they're strong, something's got to happen, you know, whether that's like a vote of confidence from Vince or staff changes or, you know, just a complete moving on. The fact that we're not hearing any of those things happening, you know, a lack of action is an action at this point. And then I guess the second thing is, what do we actually know about Brohm's interest? It kind of seems like this whole thing hinges on both of those points right there. I just wanted to hear what your guys' thoughts were. I'll probably have to catch you on the podcast later because, again, I'm not able to listen live, but just want to hear y'all's thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, the interest is definitely there. 1,000%. Lawrence wants everybody to know that his brother was in the military. So Lawrence is he knows that. Yes, but yes, the Brohm interest is definitely there. Let's see.
Want to get to David?
Yeah. Let's get David in here real quick before we go. David, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'd like to get your thoughts on the yeast of the Big 12. I think Kansas State. Can you get your thoughts on that when you think about him? And I'd like to know what you feel about that. I ain't heard anybody brought that up, but I know we got several players that transferred out from Louisville and. It seems like they're doing very good in other places. Can you get your thoughts on that for me, please?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call, David. To me, that was not a great look yesterday. I mean, with Russ Yeast, who we kind of moved out the door, didn't perform well here, goes to K-State in his first team all Big 12. It's like, okay, well, that was a pretty good player. Why wasn't he good?
A legacy kid in state.
Yeah, legacy in state kid. It was here. Looked kind of inept here. And then now I go, okay, so is that the...
maybe it wasn't the ingredients.
Is that the case? Or? Yeah, I know. Would the board stand in the way of making any college football change or coach change? No. For Cunningham to pass, don't we need a line that can block? I think our line was pretty good. I don't agree with that.
Dude, the one all conference U of L player was on the line.
Yeah. I'm totally.
Didn't mean to talk a little.
No, go ahead.
Just we're kind of scrambling here. Well, not scrambling, but you know, we're just kind of producing on the fly. We have the U of L basketball press conference coming up. I think it's going to be Malik Williams talking first.
Okay.
But I do have a couple spots I got to clear. So I think what we're going to do.
Okay.
With you is I'm going to try to squeeze as many of these spots in as possible.
Okay, let's do it.
And we might just, you know, come back dry. There's a pillow joke in there. Just, you know, come back dry, and we'll go right to the press conference.
Okay, well, hang with us then. Listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Malik Williams is going to be talking, and Chris Mack will be following right after that. So we'll bring you back here shortly. It's Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville.
Well, that was perfect timing, was it not? Malik Williams heading to the podium now. This U of L basketball press conference brought to you by U of L Health. Make the impossible possible. That's the power of you. Let's hear from the U of L big man.
It's been some time now since you've been back from the Michigan State thing. What was really, I guess, now that you've had a chance to evaluate the performance up there, what was the biggest takeaway or thing you guys learned from up there?
I would say the biggest thing that we learned is just that we need to put in more work on, you know, both ends of the floor. I believe that we had a huge focus after our first four games on getting better on defense and on the defensive end and, you know, just not that having that same focus and, you know, that same toughness on the offensive end. I think that was one of our problems, you know. We got to be able to do it on both ends and got to do it on both ends consistently. So trying to find that same toughness and that same grit that we've been kind of carving out on defense, on offense.
Link, when you look at what you guys are doing offensively, what do you think is separating you from being where you want to be?
I would just say the pace and commitment. You know, we got a specific style of play that we want to, you know, maintain throughout the game. And, you know, I think that we've been having it in spurts instead of consistently throughout 40 minutes. And everybody has an individual assignment on which they need to understand and do. And, you know, it just takes us consistently doing that, you know, as individuals.
It sort of seems like you guys are getting a lot of good shots that aren't going down. How do you deal with the frustration of that?
It's tough. It's tough. It's really tough. You know, at the end of the day, we got to make those shots, and that's what big-time players do, you know, make big-time shots. But I believe the shots will fall. If we can keep on doing it on the defensive end, our offense will flow. That was never really a worry of mine for this team, just with the talent and the depth that we got. So just sticking with it. When it's not game time, when it's not practice time, putting in work on your own and, you know, putting in realistic work, getting game shots and things like that, and the shots will fall for us.
Are you personally feeling okay? Your leg holding up and so forth?
Yeah. I did step on somebody's foot versus Maryland, you know, with my right foot, and it was a little sore, and, you know, in that moment, and then at Michigan State, I rolled my left ankle. So, you know, it's kind of tough, but, you know, I'm going to battle through it and, you know, get through this year. But nothing major, just, you know, little tweaks. And that's how it's going to be throughout the year. You know, when you're dealing with both of your feet, it's too hard to, you know, avoid everything in the game of basketball as far as it goes for the puppies. So you got to take care of them outside of the court.
In a way, is that sort of encouraging that you've kind of endured these little mishaps with no major damage?
Yeah, for sure. The bounce back has been pretty good as far as not lingering pain. So that's really encouraging for me, you know, just to stick out there and stick with it.
Yes, I know there was a lot of talk coming into the year in the offseason that having you kind of let Jalen move over, be more of a power forward, maybe some face-up type stuff might be a little more natural for him offensively. How do you feel like that process is going for him, for you two together, and what do you think of the way he's played offensively?
I feel like it's been good, and, you know, he's still learning and, you know, trying to get that same feel back, you know, as far as being a wing. He sat his first year of college, you know, not playing at all, and then, you know, he got moved positions to something he had never done, and, you know, now he's back more natural to, you know, where he's best and where he can dominate the most. So it's going to come along for Jalen. I think he's been doing well for us. You know, he just has to slow down with his decisions, as all of us do, and, you know, start being more assertive for us because, you know, we need him a lot.
Malik, when you see what L did at the end of the game the other night, where has he maybe progressed the most since he got here to be able to score 18, you know, points in the last 7 minutes or whatever it was the other night? Where's his game come along the most, do you feel like?
I would just say his pace of play, you know, and just his knowledge for the game of basketball and, like, really understanding, you know, that team feeling, you know, being a part of a system and having a role. I would say that's where his biggest growth has came. But we've seen that from L in practice plenty of times where, you know, he just catches fire. And that's what he did in the game. And it was huge for us because, you know, he kept the fight for us. You know, could have got ugly in that game. But, you know, as a team, we fought. And, you know, that was really encouraging for me. But, you know, for L, like I said, his growth has been mostly just learning the game and understanding, you know, what he has to do for the team.
Malika, even though you guys are getting some good looks, Coach Mack after the Michigan State game kind of criticized the shot selection a little bit. Why do you think you guys aren't finding better shots consistently? Is it the pace? Is it not spacing out like you need to? What do you think the reason is?
It's pace and execution. You know, we got spots on the floor where we need to be, whether it's in transition or whether it's in our flow game. Each individual has a spot where they need to be, and, you know, when the spacing isn't right, that's when you crowd it for the other guy and make his looks not as easy. So that's where it comes, just the pace and the, you know, the execution of being in that right spot and then set up cuts and little things like that to where you're actually open when, you know, we're trying to get you the ball.
This is the second straight game you're facing a really good shot blocker. How do you be aware of that without thinking too much about it?
Just working. You know, we got a pretty nice blocking mechanism in practice where they use this stick called the realistic, and you know it's pretty good. So they always get us going with that whenever we're facing a team with you know, a dominant shot blocker. So that's where it starts in practice, just learning ways to craft around it and, you know, get different type of finishes. But, you know, you just got to be patient with shot blockers, really good shot blockers. So just be patient and, you know, try to get them up in the air, try to get them a foul or something like that.
So a league game, is there any more attention brought to it by the coaching staff or even from the players about, okay, this is a little bit more important?
Yeah, you know, from my perspective, coaches, you know, they always preach that every night is important and it's going to be huge for us to go out and play every night. But, you know, for me, starting off conference, we want to do it the right way, you know, be 1-0. You definitely want to get ahead starting on conference. I believe it's the first league game for anybody. So, you know, just getting off to that right foot is important, very important. But, you know, conference is huge because that's a completely different schedule in my eyes because, you know, we go undefeated in conference and, you know, we can win that. That's an individual goal that we should have.
Most of the guys on this team the other night was the first time you had a really kind of raucous environment that you played in. You've done it. How do you think anybody, I mean, it's different. And now that you go into conference play, you're going to see that, you know, quite a bit. How different is it for this team? And like I said, a lot of guys, even the guys last year, I mean, even Jalen 2 years ago, he didn't play, you know, when he was here and you played in those environments, but it is different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot different. And especially to go into, you know, the Izone, you know, whatever they call it. But, students are out there 70 minutes prior to the game while we're warming up, you know, and then you come back out there for after that last time that we take it into the locker room and, you know, and it's packed and it's rocking, it's lit. And like, you know, it's definitely a different feeling and it's something you have to get used to, you know, being in that road environment and, you know, not being able to hear that play call or whatever it may be. For guys last year, you know, with COVID, nobody really experienced it. Crowd like we experienced last night, so it was difficult for us, but it's something that we have to learn, you know, to play through. But, you know, for the younger guys especially, and somebody like Jalen who's never really been in that type of environment on the road, it was a challenge, and, you know, but it's something we have to get over, get past.
Speaking of getting used to things, you've worn that jersey quite a bit this year, haven't you? Is it kind of something, is that kind of one of your goals to get it each week?
I wouldn't say a big goal, but, you know, every day you want to go do your best in practice, and the gold jersey is kind of a signifier of that. So, you know, I like wearing it, but it's not really a big goal of mine. You know, I got bigger things on my mind, but at the end of the day, I do earn it. So it's pretty nice.
One more, anybody? Good.
Appreciate it.
There you have it, Williams at the podium. Sorry, looking at the screen right now, seeing if that was Chris Mack walking into frame. It was not. We're going to take a little time out here, tap dance a bit, for Chris Mack to come to the podium. You're listening to 93.9 The Ville, part of ESPN Louisville. I'm just loading a break right now. And then, yeah, on the other side, you'll have Chris Mack as he meets the media ahead of tomorrow's ACC opener with NC State on the road. Again, keep it locked to ESPN Louisville for post-game coverage as that one goes final. Miller Lite post-game coverage. We'll replay this press conference over on the V Show as part of Fast Break Friday later on in the program. Coming up at 12:30, Jay Billis will join Bobby V. So I know the topic du jour is definitely football, but a lot of basketball stuff to talk about as well, and you'll hear all of it right here on ESPN Louisville. Chris Mack coming up on 93.9 The Ville in moments. All right, Chris Mack at the podium. This is presented by U of L Health. Make the impossible possible. That's the power
not
of you.
That side of the game, but you know, twice we called for post ups for Dre, and both times he was open in the post, and we elected to throw the ball back to the top and took two ill-advised threes with about 15, 18 seconds left in the shot clock. And so, you know, we have a young team with those type of decisions, that type of environment. But that's got to be a teaching point. It's got to be corrected as we move forward. But no, I think we've got to be able to generate more often than not the ability to get in the paint And how is that? Is that drives? Is that post touches? Is that set play execution? You know, ball screens, you name it. We got to get the ball in the paint first, and that'll get us to the foul line more. It'll give us more opportunities to get cleaner looks from the perimeter.
Just specifically, when you look at the way Jalen has played offensively, he's not getting as many shots. Is there stuff he's not doing? Is he not being aggressive enough? Are there some things you guys should do to get him a little bit more? What do you feel about the way he's playing
offensively? Probably a little bit of everything. He needs to provide more for us. We've got to do a better job of trying to put him in spots like when we got the and one in the second half, and that was certainly a set play call. But having said that, like, everything can't be spoon-fed of like, hey, this set's for you now, this set's for you now. He's got to go earn some on his own. He's got to be able to offensive rebound. He and I tied the other night, and it's getting really frustrating. He's 6'8", 230 pounds. He's athletic as all get out, and yet he's not getting to the offensive glass. And then he's got to be able to mix up, you know, whether it's going perimeter to post, backing his man down, whether it's a quick rip and drive. He's got to be able to recognize those opportunities out of our offense.
Chris, when you have a guy like Noah Locke, who, you know, is known as a guy that can knock down a three at any moment, yet is struggling game after game to do that, how do you address that as a coach, or just kind of let him fight through it on his own?
Well, I think, you know, in fairness to Noah, you know, we're not, and he's a part of that, executing well enough. You know, if there's a screening action for him, he can't just value the catch. He's got to value the setup cut. You know, elite shooters, and Noah's an elite shooter, they're going to get guarded differently. They're going to be top locked. They're going to be chased. There's going to be a lot of attention to them. And so in order to set himself up, he's got to do a better job of using a setup cut. And we've got to try to screen better. But again, if there's separation from the cutter and the cutter's defender, then it's easier to get a good screen. And now if they do have the IQ to jump out with two on the ball, then those opportunities where the screener's open will happen. But, you know, right now it's we're not setting up the cuts. We're not screening well enough. It was big emphasis yesterday in practice.
And Chris, obviously over the offseason, one of your bigger points of emphasis was not only just overhauling the offense, but bringing in a bunch of three-point shooters. Through the first seven games, they're shooting just under 30%. Why do you think the guys are struggling nailing those long shots? It's just overall, if it's offensive execution, shot selection, why do you think that reason is?
It's a little bit of everything, but it goes back to, you know, what I just answered on the previous question, and that is, you know, whether it's setup cut, whether it's hard screens, those allow better looks. And a purpose of our offense needs to be to get the ball in the lane so that those opportunities where the defense converges are greater. And now we get more, you know, open looks. Having said that, against Michigan State, you know, we had several opportunities to knock down a few that we didn't, that would have stretched out the defense even more. I mean, I'll take Matt Cross, the three or four that he missed every single game. We got to live with him as the first true road environment for Matt. Not that I think that really had a lot to do with it, but you know, those are just shots that, you know, that's why we put him in that position. We feel confident that he's going to make them.
With L, I mean, you might not get 18 points in 7 minutes every game, but maybe you will. What is though the next step after he did that the other night? What's the next step for him to continue to kind of build on that performance?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to diminish the way that he played down the stretch because the game was getting away from us. And we got to the point where, you know, it was an 8-point game. It was our ball on the side with a minute and 20 left. And then we didn't execute. And ironically, it was L that sort of threw the turnover right there. So in the moments where the game's in balance, it's going back and forth, he needs to have an aggressive mindset, not reckless. He's got to be able to get in the lane for us. He's got to shoot with the type of confidence that he shot when we were down 15, 20 points. And so he's more than capable, as you saw the other night. Again, he needs experience. I'd like to think that he grew up a lot, you know, playing at the Breslin Center, which isn't easy to play at. And so hopefully that experience helps us tomorrow when we go on another road game.
There's a difference in like play fast and shoot fast. Are you guys at the point yet where you figured out that difference?
No, not really. I mean, that's a great question. You know, I think, you know, everybody hears play fast, and yet sometimes on film we run slow and shoot fast, and that's not playing fast. That's playing wrong. It's ridiculous, you know, to equate the two. So for us, it's trying to implement pace not just from end to end, but in the half court. You know, the pace to keep the ball moving and not let it stick on the side of the floor or for a certain action. And we're learning that. You know, this is a process, you know, and so we've had a few ugly nights. And, you know, we're committed to what we're doing. We just got to get better at it.
And then not to harp too much on Jalen, but he is playing a different position. He's playing a different style than he played last year. Is there some adjustment still there too from the from that change?
Well, he was thrown in the fire a year ago at the five, and that's not necessarily naturally what he wants to be or is. But it put him in a position where he was finishing around the basket, and not that he was perfect at that, but he's got to figure out that he's not a 6'9", 235-pound two guard. You know, we need him to be way more reckless. And I've been on him, and I'm going to continue to be on him because I know that his backup and Matt Cross will play aggressive. And, again, Jalen's got to figure it out for our team to reach its ceiling for sure.
Malik wearing the gold jersey again. What has he done, I guess, in these most recent practices to earn that? And as a follow-up to, or as a secondary question on him, he's certainly struggling beyond the arc. Does he have the complete green light to shoot those whenever he wants?
No. And in fact, that's part of his learning process and our learning process is there are occasions where he's popping and he should be rolling and he's smart enough to know when to do both. And so that, you know, that leads to ill-advised shots. You know, what he's done to earn it in practice, I mean, it's not subjective. I mean, it's based on, you know, raw data from practice. So he's earned it by grabbing the most rebounds, blocking the most shots, converting around the basket better than the other guys in practice. But having said that, doesn't give you the license on offense to do what you want. And he's learning that.
When you look at the film on NC State, what sort of pops out whenever you first fire up that film?
That they're good. They've got some talented perimeter players. To do what they did against Nebraska the other night, down 14 points, and they, you know, had lost two of their, you know, main go-to guys on the perimeter. Cam Hayes gets ejected. You know, Casey Morsell gets hurt. And, you know, Sebron becomes a one-man wrecking crew, you know, like Scottie Pippen, you know, just getting to the basket. And anytime a guy can get to the free throw line 20 times, grab almost 20 rebounds and, you know, carry the team in the four overtime game. But I think they have a lot of talented perimeter players. You know, they certainly took a hit with losing, I think, the best defensive player in the ACC and in the interior and Manny Bates. But Kevin's done a good job. He's got some young guys that have manned the center position. They block shots. They try to play like Manny, probably not as talented or experienced as yet. But what sticks out to me is just their talent on the perimeter, their ability to, you know, score the ball, and then how they play defensively. You know, they try to rattle your cage and, you know, get deflections and take the ball from you. So we got to be really rock solid with our ball handling tomorrow.
Chris, Malik's shooting about three free throws a game and nobody else is shooting more than two. How important is it to get more? And does that go along with some of the physicality stuff you've talked about?
Yeah, it's way more important than it appears on the stat sheet right now. It's an emphasis. I think we had 63 possessions the other night and 29 of them were paint touches. And that's just that's not good enough. That's not the recipe to be a good offensive team. So we got to figure out ways to crack that thing in the lane, and that'll lead to better shots, and it'll also lead to more fouls. And, you know, when you're about 3 or 4 minutes from the first half ending and the other team has two or three team fouls, I mean, it's just we're not aggressive enough. Thanks, guys.
There you have it. Chris Mack's presser ahead of tomorrow's conference opener with NC State on the road. Chris Mack meeting the media. We'll replay that probably in the 1 o'clock hour over on the V Show as part of Fast Break Friday presented by L81 on ESPN 680 1057. Also, Jay Billis joining Bobby V in about 20 minutes. That presser brought to you by U of L Health, making the impossible possible. That is the power of you. You know what? I really want to know what Mike Greenberg thinks of all that.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.